Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' And they replied, 'Because no one has hired us.' Then he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And in the eyes of the people, there is a failure. And in the eyes of the hungry, there is a growing wrath. In the souls of the people, the grapes of wrath are filling and growing heavy for the vintage. Growing up in Reynosa, Mexico, I would listen to the stories my tia abuela, my great aunt, Chabela, told about her time as a migrant farm worker picking grapes in vineyards out in California. In late July, right before the crush season, which was between August and October, she and my tia abuela, Eddie, would load up the car with a couple of the other cousins to make the journey northwest to California. The vineyards were ripe, and the people were growing heavy for the harvest that led to some pretty good vintage out in Napa Valley. Back then, they earned about $1.25 an hour working before the sun rose to the sunset. And once the season was over in October, they headed back. And as she would always tell me, times were tough, mijo. Then, as I'm older, I say times are tough now also. After about a decade of doing this, both of my great aunts decided to settle down. One in California, the other in Reynosa, because they knew there was a failure on many fronts for agricultural workers, both in this country and in Mexico. My family knew this lesson very well. My paternal grandfather's family farm had failed. Their corn could not stand to the might of Iowa corn. So my parents took the hard journey northward, seeing that they couldn't carry on the family legacy on the farm. John Steinbeck, of whom you heard this quote earlier on, in his book, The Grapes of Wrath, captured perfectly that heaviness, that spiritual heaviness that all of us who, like my family, have had to journey away from those spaces and places we call home, those places of comfort, in order to make ends meet. I wonder, how does this impact our spiritual home? How should our spiritual home encompass all who take journeys, heavy with disappointment, economic hardship, trying to look for some measure of peace? When I last preached to you, I said that we as Lutherans have this spirituality of the cross, that every day our own egoism is being put away, and that at every moment there is a new life within us, a life that is concerned with the needs of our neighbors. This spirituality is not of prosperity, nor is it feel good, but rather it is one that challenges us to embrace those who are at a different economic bracket than we are, and not to do so with charity or philanthropy, but in and through God, who, as the psalmist says, uplifts all who are bowed down and uphold all who fall. Our parable this morning, and really like all parables, allow us to experience and imagine our lives as if we were not defined by our economic advantage and privilege. We all know that we are siblings of one God, and we know that because it is the kingdom of God that makes us one. At face value, we see that the landowner's generosity perhaps is in line with this. And we hear it when he says, "I choose to give to this last one the same as I give to you," i.e. the first one. Everyone is the equal, basically, right? But let's hear the story anew. This landowner needed some braceros, some farmhands, to pick grapes. It's crush season in the land. He has his regular laborers, whom he hires out with a usual daily wage, known as the denarius. Let's consider a little bit more about this denarius. How much are they actually getting paid? During Jesus' time, a denarius sustained a worker for 10 days. Just the worker. Factor in those dreaded taxes, cost for housing, the dependents they most likely had. Oh, and remember, this is only for planting and harvesting seasons. Some have argued, and rightly so, that this was poverty-level wages, somewhat like the farmhands of today, what they experience. So think of it this. The same landowner, knowing this, goes out into the marketplace and hires more idle braceros at 9, noon, 3, and 5. His version of the Dr. Pepper hours. He agrees to pay them what he thinks is fair or just. See, unlike people in today's job world, you don't simply just go up to a place of employment, or you don't go to jobs.com and put your application online hoping that someone is going to choose you. You had to wait. One had to wait until an employer said, "I will go out and I will pay that employee exactly what I think I should pay." There isn't a negotiation on how much you were going to be paid. So these destitute, impoverished, those that were needing for some relief, these idle laborers, were spiritually heavy, wanting someone to recognize their own dignity and the dignity of the work of their hands. What do we hear about this? At sundown, the landowner sends his manager to pay the folks, but not in the expected order, starting with those who arrived last and ending with those who worked first. He paid them all one denarius. This should rightly so offend our sensibility. We could simply respond by saying, well, perhaps these first laborers, in their own drive to make ends meet, end up oppressing those that were employed last. Hear how he says it. These that last worked only worked 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Maybe we could even say this is God's grace, that in Christ we are defined not by what we have done, but by the death and resurrection of our Lord. Dying and rising, this is our spirituality, the end. But siblings, here's where the mastery of Jesus' parable comes to play, and really the challenge of our spirituality. This landowner, with much wealth, knowing the impoverished condition of workers, decides not to be proportionate with his wages. He knows that from the beginning. He was simply just being charitable. He wasn't being just with how he paid his workers. And instead of paying the workers in order, he shames those who have toiled for hours under the hot sun by just giving them some coin of a false hope. Perhaps if the landowner compensated them one denarius, I would be given more. Naturally, I would think the same thing. And I think we would miss the point of the parable if we forget that condition, the condition of the workers in this story. Because we know, again, that the kingdom of the heavens is not about this generous landowner who pays wages at a coercive rate. The kingdom of the heavens comes when the least, the lost, and the lowly live as our equal partners in this world. How many people do we know in this city that are denied livable wages, or for too often, on account of their limited income, cannot participate fully in the blessings that we all have received as we live here now? For too often, we have understood spiritual heaviness in a very limited way. And that spiritual deals with prayers, with litanies and songs. That aspect of our lives that spirituality shouldn't deal with is the pocketbook. And yet, if you know anyone who has faced economic uncertainty and poverty, they will tell you, I know much about the Lord. For I have heard that blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This, siblings, is what our spiritual home is defined by. Not by charity, but by this word of Christ that makes all of us one, that blesses the poor and the least and the lost, and that our spiritual home expands whenever this message of God's kingdom embraces folks of different economic levels and different identities. And I have to say, there's a heaviness in my generation because we feel that the church is not the place to be accepted and to have our own economic plights listened to. I wonder how our spiritual home would be if we took the opportunity to connect our spirituality with the economic justice that is needed today. What do we have then to say to those that experience this kind of heaviness? I think we should let our kindness, our embrace, our dedication to rectifying the social ills of this world through our mission partners be our answer. And through the many different works that you all do, I've known certain people go to places like Casa Juan Diego and feed the poor and the destitute. For we know that God alone sustains them, sustains folks like my tía abuelas and my parents who journeyed northward into this country hoping to have a better kind of life. And I would say they did. But not because they had more money in the bank. Well, because they saw God. They saw God in the face of those friendly Texans teaching a little bit of English. They saw God in the face of their fellow workers, sharing tips on where to shop and how best to clean my dad's carpet cleaning machine as he toiled day in and day out. They saw God in the face of all who earnestly desired to uplift their spirits with the hope of a full life in God. My hope is that others may see God, that God in you, with those you encounter, those whom you pray with, those that look like you, and those that don't spend like you. For in God we are all one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for of theirs is the kingdom of God. Amen.